Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Starring, as usual, and every week, the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and today we're going to be talking about numbers, Martin.
Yes, indeed.
Usually there's two of us on this show, and today there's going to be three. So there's two numbers that we're going to talk about. I feel like Sesame Street.
Yes.
Brought to you by the number two and the number three.
Right, indeed. And the important thing is that I should just step aside and just keep quiet. You know, all I did is I'm bringing to the fore a man who I've known since about 1996 and he's been an important part of my life, and he has provided me with countless wonderful ideas that I have implemented in my life. So let's just let you drive the call. I'm stepping aside.
All right. So our guest today is the author of Why Do Numbers Count? And he spent over 45 years as a CEO and president of a number of companies, including a couple that have had over 400 employees. So, and yet he's written a book about numerology and why do numbers count? And we just find the whole topic absolutely fascinating. So, want to welcome you, Lance, to the call. How are you doing today?
Well, thank you very much. It is a good day, other than the hockey series. I'm doing well.
That's right. So, tell us, what is numerology?
Well, numerology stems back into ancient times. Pythagoras was considered to be the father of numerology. How it works is on the basis of vibrational frequencies. Very interesting to look up cymatics, cymatics, on the internet, and to see what happens to form and frequencies. So you can create not only all kinds of shapes through frequencies, but you can actually create things that are very distinctive life forms, like centipedes and butterflies and even all the way up the scale to the human face. So it kind of puts a nail in the underpinnings that frequency and form have a very definitive relationship. And so every person's name within any language has a certain tone, quality, texture to it, a certain frequency. And it does affect the physical form, physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Wow. So how did you get involved with numerology?
Well, that's an interesting story. I was at the time working in Saskatoon, out in the prairies, and I had a friend from Vancouver, and we met halfway in between in Banff. And we were camping, and it was a May 24th weekend, and it started to snow, and he said, "We've got to go into Calgary to have Chinese food." Okay, let's go. So but he insisted on bringing along his briefcase, and so we drove in, and I can remember the restaurant very clearly. We sat down, and we ordered, and while we were waiting, he opened his briefcase and got out this brown envelope and pushed across the table, and didn't say a word. And I opened the envelope and started to read this name analyses about myself, and my first impression was, my goodness gracious, there's a lot of spelling errors and run-on sentences here. Somebody needs to show them how to write a technical report. But my second thought was, my friend has really stepped over the edge here, and I better not object or say much until I learn something about the topic so I can intellectually approach the subject. So that's what I did. I actually set off to disprove the whole idea, and took a gallant effort at that for about 6 or 8 months, and decided I better change my attitude, since every time I thought I had found a flaw in it. The instructor pointed out to me the errors of my ways. So that all was on to 45 years ago. So I've used it ever since in business and haven't been shy about it, whether it's with the banker, the lawyer, or the accountant, or clients.
So can you give us an example of how you use numerology, say, in your business? Well, since you were talking about, you know, with bankers and accountants and stuff, like how would you use it in your business?
Well, for one, if I'm starting a new business, I would make an effort to incorporate the business in the right cycle. At the beginning of the cycle, one cycle a year, I would choose a company name that had the right frequency based around success. Another area that I find it very useful in one of my last endeavors, I was brought in to help a company that was in trouble, ended up spending 3 years doing that. And we had an outstanding person in human resources there, and she might spend months interviewing and paring down a job posting to a number of clients. And when she had the short list, she would bring it to me, and I would look at it, and I would say, there might be four people on it, and I would, on the spot, be able to say, okay, the quality and nature of this person is this, and that one's this, and this one's that, and this guy won't last, but this guy's will be the better choice for us. And she'd go, why do I spend months doing this? You can do this in 5 minutes. This is annoying. How do you do it? I think it was probably a couple of years to before I, you know, gave up my secret and let her know how I was doing it.
That's cool. So I've got a couple, maybe a little more detailed questions that I'm hoping that you can clarify for us, Lance. And because you had mentioned like starting a business in the right cycle year and also names. And of course, with my experience with numerology, it's usually been, you know, taking my name and breaking down the letters into numbers of the alphabet and then going from there. But how would somebody know what cycle year they're in? Do we just go like it's 2011, so that's a 4? Is that the 4 for everybody, or is it different for you and different from me?
Okay, well, let's use an example. What is your birth date?
October 13th, 1956.
Okay, so what I look at is October is the 10th month, so that's a 1, and 13 is a 4. Now, we don't need the 1956, so... Well, the current year is 2011. 2011 is now another 4. But here's the interesting part. Now we do a plus 1 on all of that. And the reason we do that plus 1 is, for example, a child is 1 month old, 2 months, whatever. The moment the child becomes 1 year old, they're now living in their second year. So you have to do an adjustment of plus 1 there, which is a little bit unique to the way a lot of people don't do the plus 1. And then I ask some questions and say, well, why does this happen at this time and that and this month and that month? Anyway, that's a longer story in which this can be proven out quite accurately. So there you go. In your case, you're in a 1-cycle year.
I'm in a 10. And, 10 is a 1. So is that the beginning then, 1?
Yeah, the beginning is 1, and this is June, and June 19th, the 1-1 day and a 9-1 month and the 1 year is the most poignant, the peak of the peak of the peak of the seeding cycle. You should pay particular attention to what comes your way between the 19th and the 22nd, sorry, the 19th and the 27th. That's a real window of opportunity. June 19th, many years ago, is when I started the computer business and ended up with 400 employees.
Wow.
Just to tell you quickly about that is you probably found that last year it was a bit of an emotional year, much more emotional than normal. Your physical energy started to go downhill in February, and you might have found a little bit like an eggshell attack in a frying pan when it got down to June and July. You can be terribly tired to the point of time and time again, people will phone me and ask questions, and they are off seeing their naturopath and doing everything they know health-wise and to bring their energy up. And what it is a cycle when it's like the fall and the wintertime, the leaves have fallen off the tree, and you can go buy all the crazy glue in the world, but you're never going to get those leaves back on the tree. The sap isn't running, and the energy is low, right?
Yeah.
To the point where it's frightened. And now you don't quite have all your energy back, but you're pretty much back on to being your old self. You've got a new vitality. Your mind is on starting something new if you haven't already started it, and you're into a very good period of time.
Yeah, there's a project that looks like in the next couple of months we'll be able to start, which is really exciting, and goes off in. Although it builds on everything I've done the last 5 or 6 years, it really goes off in a direction that is very different. So I would say.
And it could have well been you had the. Yeah. And did you have the inspiration for that last October, November, December? Did it come to that idea kind of manifest itself in the fall or maybe the spring? But you certainly at least questioned yourself last year. What am I doing? Where am I going? What's this all about? You know, I need to latch on to something new and different here. I need to up-level my game.
Yeah, the possibility of actually doing this new project, it came about and it became clear that we could do it in last fall, for sure, August, September, October, and around there. And it's interesting, we tried to actually start it last year. It was like, but just didn't work out at all, actually. It's like,
it's all in the timing. You know, the greatest treason is to do the right thing for the wrong reason, and I say it's the same thing. It's could be applied to doing the right thing in the wrong season. You just have to wait. You got the seed of the idea, and you got to wait until the planting cycle is ripe. If you're a farmer, you would understand that 100%, right?
Yeah, that's right. You don't plant your tomatoes in January if you live in the northern hemisphere.
Exactly. So you had it. Your idea had to become grounded. It had to land and have fertile ground. So you got to get past the inspirational stage of it. Down to the practicalities. So you're in just superb timing for, you know, at this point. Where I would, my recommendation to you is to push as hard as you can over the next few months. You're into an excellent time for the next 2 years. But you've got to get wheels going in the next 2 years, and then you got maybe lots of detailed stuff, and you got to more or less stick with the status quo for a while. But anyway, not to go on too long, that's the kind of the nature of cycles.
So what we do is we take our birth date, so October 13th, October is the 10th month, 1 plus 0 is 1, 13 is 1 plus 3 is 4. Then we take this year, which happens to be 2011, which is another 4, so 1 and 4 is 9. But at the end of the year, you've finished your first year of life, so we need to add that 1 on, which makes 9 into 10, 10 is 1, and then we take today's date, add that in, and we see where we... So I'm at the beginning of the cycle that way. Somebody who was born October 15th, they would be at 3, and that's a different aspect of the cycle, right?
Correct. So now you know that 2011 is a 4 plus 1 is a 5, so... Keep that number in mind that in this particular year, the 5. So you said, let's pick on a date like October 20th. So that's the 1 and 2 is 3 plus the 5 is 8. Bang, done. You know, let me say that there's biorhythms. There's all kinds of cycles in our life. If one is into astrology, there's many different astrological cycles. And but what's so surprising to me is how vividly this 9-year cycle shows itself almost all the time. you know, somebody could be in extremely positive planetary alignment in their astrology, and it might offset the numeric cycle, but it's not going to eradicate it. It will still be evident and prominent. In fact, some of my friends who are astrologers, I'm thinking of one lady in particular who charges $500 an hour, she always starts her sessions with the first 3 to 5 minutes on based on the cycle. And I said, well, why do you do that? She says, because I established such credibility with just giving them the summary of their cycle that I've got their full attention for the next hour.
Right. So you wrote the book, Why Do Numbers Count? And can you tell
us a
little
bit?
Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, the inspiration for that started some 40 years ago when I, 45 years ago when I was first introduced to numerology, and while I was taking classes on it, my thought process continuously was, well, they're making something that should be easy to understand far too complicated. There must be a way of presenting this that would be easier. So 20 years later, I finally wrote the book, and what I came up with was four different metaphors. So the first nine chapters, starting with chapter one is the male. So I talk about the human qualities of male. The one is the seed, so I talk about the nature of the seed. One is Aries, so a little bit on Aries. And one is the root chakra, so I talk about that. So through each chapter, I go through those four metaphors. Everybody knows a little bit of astrology, and most people can, everybody can relate to the first two. So by the time so instead of presenting it in the classic way that numerology and astrology does, and giving you the challenge of memorizing some monster database before you can get it down to applying it, I just tell a story that happens very quickly, reads more like a novel, and now you've got images and pictures. So the book has about 70 different illustrations in it. And you know, I just start asking questions. So if the one is a male and he's a pioneer, and if this trusty rifle and Coonskin cap, now imagine somebody who has lots of ones in their life, and it's a woman, and it's year 2011. Well, would that woman be prone to wearing blouses and skirts and high heels, or would she be the kind of person you'd seldom would always be wearing slacks and maybe solid colors? What do you think the answer would be? Right? Would the pioneer drink out of an old cracked mug or a fancy little teacup? So you just ask yourself questions. You got answers once you got the picture.
Right. So it's interesting. The better your questions, the better your answers, eh? And particularly if you know what questions to ask too, right? Like, where are you? Are you in the beginning of something? Are you at the end of something? Are you kind of in the middle? Are you in the spring? Are you in the fall? I like the seasonal analogies because we know that in the spring the farmer plants, and we know in the summer he tends, and in the fall he harvests, and in the wintertime he, lives off of what he did in the previous three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And our lives can be like that too, right?
They are. There's no doubt about it. Maybe this is jumping to another topic, but another aspect that I always enjoy it when somebody comes for a quote or reading where it's a woman who's been married three times.
Okay, and why is that?
Well, yes, because you know, I can describe to her family of origin, and let's say that on the spectrum of qualities, maybe it's a particularly introverted, reserved family. And that growing up, that usually wears thin, so the person shoots for, you know, a more flamboyant, extroverted experience. but that sounded good on paper, but it gets to be too much longer term. So the second marriage will come, will move away from that, back closer to home, and a third marriage might land, maybe, hopefully, third time lucky, in some more neutral middle ground. And now, by the time I describe those four families, which women are very quick to pick up on, and describe the person's experience within those four families, where it looked like the right family, but for some strange reason just didn't work out for her. You know, interesting example would sometimes can be, well, you moved in this family, everything was perfect, you really loved it, but you know, you gained 100 pounds. Hmm. You know, or the opposite, you couldn't keep any weight on. And they'd be going, well, how would you know that? Right? Or it could be a certain illness that showed up, a certain body weakness. So by the time I'm finished with them, their eyes are just wide open. And for me, it's one of the best proofs of the nature of the fact that there is evidence that it works. Or if I jump to children, children will change their names, or children respond to a change in name just within weeks. Right? They can go from hyperactive to just chilling right out and becoming normal. In fact, I can tell you a specific story of that. I see a naturopath in Vancouver occasionally, and I took her a copy of my book, her son his first name is Matt, and she read about the difference of Matthew. Now, Matthew, she's got three boys. Matthew's the youngest. He just was unfocused, couldn't keep any attention, was disinterested in school, was just a fish out of water. And I saw her just a couple of months ago, and she was just beaming. She said, "You wouldn't believe it. We went to the school, and we told them, the teachers and the principal, that our son was to be called Matthew and not Matt. Please make sure you and the children call him Matthew." They said within a couple of weeks, the kid is getting straight A's in virtually everything now. Nice. And he's just delighted. Huh. So of course, the parents are pretty happy too.
Right. So it's really important when you have a baby, for example, is you spend a little time figuring out the numbers of the names that you're thinking of calling the child.
Exactly, and I have a book out called Baby's Names. Why do they count, right?
Right. Yeah, because you could saddle somebody with a name that, and actually, I guess the question to ask you is do you find most people have names that work against what they want to accomplish, or other aspects of their astrological charts, or two names, the first name and the middle name and the last name are all kind of conflicting? Can that sort of thing happen?
Well, that's a bit of a big question on one hand, because there's a number of variations on the theme. Now, you know, just life is just in the spectrum of stuff. So, say, for example, I've seen people who have had the ideal, best possible first name combination. They have the same ideal, best possible surname combination, but you add the two of them together and you get a horrible destiny combination. So there's a little bit of an art to putting the first name with the surname to get the right destiny. Okay?
Yeah.
And many times I've witnessed where it's as if life was whispering to the parents to get them to call a child a certain name, but they missed it by just one letter. And one letter just made all the difference in the world. Mm. You know, I have people come that sometimes I had, and in fact, I was at an evening event here just a while ago, and a fellow approached me and he said, "You know," he says, "it's so amazing." He said, "People call me by two different names. My formal name, which was a German name, and an English or a Canadian abbreviation. And he said, I just realized that every time that I respond, that I feel different in my body when I get called one name or another name. He says, I'm 50 years old, and I finally noticed that I actually feel different. He says, when can we sit down and talk about this?
Interesting. Very cool.
Yeah. I would have a point I'd like to make, which is, well, isn't there some sort of karma or destiny intervening there that you end up with being named something, you know, when I was naming, with my wife's help, the two daughters that were born to us, they ended up with some names, with some combination, whatever that was. Perhaps not ideal, but they're living it out. You know, when I look at the people they are becoming based on the names, I think it's somehow appropriate. So I'm thinking, well, should a person bother changing a name, or only if they're unhappy with what they're getting out of life?
Well, one of the ways of looking at that is that I think that life can be divided into an outer journey and then an inner journey. You know, we go through this somebody training and then we go through nobody training. So part of the idea of my perception is that I think that we chose our lifetime. I think we chose our parents, our astrology, our numerology. You know, it's the child that the baby that the infant rather, I guess, that excretes the hormones that triggers the mother as to when to give birth. A possible example of how we are involved in choosing our actual time of birth. But I think that we took our universal knowingness and we compressed it into a 5 to 6 foot body with all kinds of limitations on it, and that was to help us to forget, become disoriented and confused, and wander out and about in life from pillar to post until we get enough pain or whatever and start asking questions about how come and why. And we wake up to sort of seeking an inner peace in our inner self. And that then for some includes, if I was to take the Christian mythology or approach to it, they would say in Revelations, they say one is given a white stone within which is inscribed a new name to be known only unto oneself. Now, that's a pretty loose translation of probably what the real words are. The idea is white is symbolic of spirit, and stone is something that is solid, tangible, physical of the earth. So a basic spiritual principle is encapsulated in the name. In the Christian Bible, there's, I think, more than 200 name changes. Saul changed his name to Paul, and he became, and Sarah to Sarai, and she became. You know, this idea, once you wake up to numerology, what you'll find is that it just permeates every religion and culture and oracle that you can imagine. It's everywhere. It's sort of amazing as to how we don't see it until we see it.
Right, that's a really, really good point. I had a great question too, Martin, because I know some people that have gone to the, you know, they've really gone and they've changed their whole name. Their name, their new name is nothing like their old name. And it's interesting to see the changes in their lives that happen because of that. It's a totally different direction that they're going into. And I was going to say, became much closer friends after they changed their name than they were before they changed their name, which is really quite interesting.
You know, let me add into that that I think that we're a product of our heredity, our environment, our education, the space-time continuum that we happen to be in, the number of languages we speak, and do we play music or not. There's a whole tapestry of considerations that goes into making up who we are. My position is that numerology is part of that tapestry. It's, if it's a 1,000-piece puzzle, you know, it's 2 or 3 or 4 pieces of the puzzle, or maybe it's 10 pieces, I don't know. All that I can say for sure is it's part of the puzzle, it's part of the picture.
Right.
But it doesn't, and it can have a dramatic impact, but it is most definitely not the whole story.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Lance. This has been absolutely fascinating. We've come to the end of our time together today, and hopefully we can have you on again and talk about this some more, because I just find it really, really fascinating. Your book is Numbers Count. If somebody wants to check out the book, and also if they're going to have a baby, want to check out baby names. I'm sorry, I forgot the name of that particular book. But where would they go, and what should they do?
Well, you can either go to my website at numbers-count.com, or you can look me up on Amazon. And in that case, the easiest way is to type in my name, Lance Shaler, S-H-A-L-E-R. My books are, there's 2 books there. They're, of course, available in an ebook format. Numbers Count is formally called Why Do Numbers Count? Posing the Question. And Baby Names, Why They Count is the second part of that title.
Great. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, Lance. Really appreciate it. And you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network. Head over to www.life-enthusiast.com if you want to find out more about what we do. And head over to numbers-count.com if you want to know more about numerology and connect with Lance. Thanks for joining us, Lance.
Thank you. My pleasure.